The TV News recorded January 20th, 2015. The video game episode. So this week, we're talking about video games, guys.
But we're the TV dudes.
Well, we're talking about TV and video games, how they can go together.
Oh, okay, yes.
But this week, we got ourselves a little bit of a special guest.
Ooh, I'm special.
Yes, you are special.
I'm so special.
We have Jeff Schussler from Rage Select.
Don't tell him my last name. It's just Jeff from Rage Select.
Okay, Jeff from Rage Select.
There you go. Good.
I think Rage Select is your last name.
Jeff Rage Select, yeah.
No, Rage Select.
Well, I've been trying to get him to call me Duke Hugecock for a while, but Grant just won't go for it. Right?
You know, you're going to run into trouble with the Duke Hugecocks out of Houston. That family's very litigious.
Ah, the venerable Hugecocks, yes. Yeah, I've heard about them.
Yeah. So RageSelect.com is a video game review and Let's Play website that I do with Jeff. We do some Let's Plays 2-3 times a week, I guess.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then it's got daily content over there. You guys should check it out for anyone who knows our site but doesn't know that one.
I suppose it's possible there are a couple people
there
like
might be like one person.
We always go, people probably already know.
Yeah. But just in case.
Just in case. And going around the room, I'm Grant Davis. We also got
Gregory J. Amani Smith, the married man.
Oh, now, did you have to change your name? Is that what the extra one is?
Actually, no.
No. You've always been that.
He added another name.
No. Yeah.
And
Randy Lander.
Randy Lander. And yeah, once again, we are talking about video games and TV, just kind of how they intersect, crossovers when TV shows become video games, when video games become TV shows, why this hasn't been explored more, and if we kind of foresee it in the future. But before we get to all that, of course, we're going to do our news and other discussion topics, cleaning house and whatnot. iTunes. We got no iTunes shout outs this
week.
Now,
this is shocking to me.
This is 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks.
So you guys need to pick up your game.
Yes. Everybody hates us now.
Go to iTunes. Give us that 5-star rating and review. We'll read it on the show. It really helps us out. Please go do that right now. It raises our visibility, helps us grow our audience, and that's all we ask from you guys.
You'll be a good person.
Yeah. Moving on, I wanted to also note that the Podcast Awards for 2015 have just kicked off. I thought, hey, why not? We don't stand a chance of winning.
No, but we like the votes.
Yeah, but maybe you guys could go nominate us. Well, they don't have a TV specific category. They have like other things that are like really specific, but no TV. They have movies and film.
I would say, okay, now disregard anything we've said about award shows before, and we're for them.
No, I still hate award shows, but I like awards.
Yeah, see, you know what. Randy, that's a very good distinction.
Yeah.
Award shows suck.
I don't need to be on the show. I just need people to tell me I'm awesome.
Yeah. Tell me I'm awesome. Give me a nice piece of shiny hardware.
Nominate us in the entertainment and the People's Choice categories. Why not?
Seriously, they don't have a TV. They don't have a TV one?
So
they don't.
Grant, is there a URL or just Google Podcast Awards?
Podcastawards.com.
Well, that's easy.
It's very straightforward. And while you're at since we got Jeff here.
Can you vote every day like you could last year? Did you find that out?
Not for nominations. Once the nominations go through, they go and do a review cycle, and then they'll come back and say, these are the actual nominees.
So I shouldn't turn on the script now. Wait until the nominees are in.
Yeah.
Are they still in Las Vegas?
Yeah, they got bought up by NMX.com. Okay. There's some, like, I don't know what they do, actually. New Media Expo, I guess it's conference.
They breed robots.
But there's also a gaming category. You can throw Rage Select in there.
Sounds pretty good.
But yes, you can.
Yeah.
You can.
For anyone familiar, you should. I think it'd be cool. Once again, it's steep competition.
I can't decide whether it would be cool or whether it would be pitiful. When they're like, they send you the report saying, you got 0.00001% of the votes.
Great thing. Yeah. They don't send you a report. So
okay.
You don't have to worry about that.
That's good.
Also, I do a beer podcast. You guys might be aware of thebeers.com. Go ahead and put that in the food and beverage category.
You do too many podcasts,
Brandon. I do.
You get so many podcasts.
I don't know what's wrong.
I'm looking forward to your upcoming classic car podcast in 2015. That's
All right, but let's go move on to some listener questions.
All right.
So if you guys have liked us on Facebook or on Twitter, you'll have seen these posted. Let's jump into our first one. Oh, we got some for Jeff. I mentioned you were going to be on here.
All right.
I've been answering questions on the internet for like 3.5 years now. Every single week of my entire life, somehow they still manage to find questions.
Yes.
I figured at this point they would know everything. They could build the robot of me and it would be just fine. All right.
All right, Jeff, here's your first question.
Oh, good.
What's your favorite TV comedy? Kevin Moreno wants to know.
probably Parks and Recreation. I think I tried watching The Office just recently, and it was okay. It was a little bit. I think that if I'd watched it before I watched Parks and Recreation, yeah, I probably would have liked it more.
Yeah.
But I really like how upbeat. There is more than enough depressing TV to watch. If I want to get bummed out by TV shows, it's really easy.
Right.
So I like a good comedy, and I like Parks and Recreation because it's got a good cast. And
you see, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about how upbeat Parks and Rec is very much an aspirational kind of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's nice, you know, and the people who are douchebags are funny douchebags.
Yeah.
Right. And at the end of the day, people win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More often than not. Yeah.
I hadn't treated, because The Office and Parks and Rec do have a lot of the same DNA and a lot of the same, but you're right. Parks and Rec is sort of the office is about the drudgery of working and trying to get around working in an office and how you get by and survive your life. And the Parks and Rec is about just kind of, you know, living your life and being happy.
Well, I was thinking about the other day. I thought it was really interesting that you can actually make a really easy connection between the Leslie Knope character and what's his name from the Daily Show? Steve Carell's character on The Office, except that Steve Carell's character is kind of sad, funny, and Leslie Knope is just, she's insane, but somehow everybody loves her anyways.
She's just lovable.
Yeah. Even the grouchy, even Ron Swanson is now, you know, like he should be the grouchy dude. Even the jam guy from the last
one. Yes,
yeah. He's likable in spite of how crappy he is.
So that was a miracle.
You caught last week's episodes?
No, I didn't.
The day be back?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that next week. Next question comes from Alex Lavelle. Damn it, come on. I should read these ahead of time.
Yeah.
But hey, here you go. If Jeff could bang of the puppets from Farscape, one would it be?
I have no idea.
Actually, I was going to ask that very question, so it's good to get that out.
Cross that out, Randy. And
Randy, have you also seen Farscape?
I've seen an episode of Farscape.
I'm trying to think. If there were any lady puppets on Farscape, all I could think of is the pilot and Rigel, and I'm not sure it matters.
They're a puppet at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the question is pretty specific. There was this one episode that had this thing that had just like a million teeth and claws.
Ew.
That might be my pick, just because when you got done, you could be like, "That's right.
That's right.
If you can bang that, you can bang anything."
True.
Banging
the Guar monster.
That's right.
I hear that once you go puppet, you never go back.
That's right.
Wow.
Who did you hear this from?
It was Jim Henson, actually. Jim Henson, sexadvice.com.
Don't you soil his good name.
Oh, boy.
Brian Henson, sexadvice.com.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right, Jordan Worth Cobb says he knows that Jeff's a big fan of Flash as well, like we are, Randy and I.
Mm-hmm.
And he's curious if you've caught up, if we have all caught up, and what we thought of the Flash Rogues Gallery. Which ones are their favorite?
Rogues Gallery? You mean like the venerable comic book store in Round Rock, Texas?
Yeah.
Plug it.
Anyway, so you're not caught up on Flash?
No. But you guys feel free.
Where are you at? Have you watched any? Or?
I think the last one I watched was one that had Captain Cold. It was only like third or fourth.
Oh, that was a great one.
Well, there you go. That's your answer. Captain Cold's the best one.
Yeah. Captain Cold is the best Rogue so far, actually. Yeah.
I don't know. I did like the guy that turned it, that split himself into multiple people. I always think that's a really interesting thing, and they pulled it off really well.
They did,
on the show.
That's an old Firestorm villain, it turns out.
Really?
They're using a lot of Firestorm villains and supporting cast in the Flash show. It's interesting.
No one reads Firestorm.
Because nobody read Firestorm.
Did Captain Boomerang come on before it was all over?
Yes, he did.
Did he look like an idiot like he does in the comics?
No, he looked kind of badass.
Okay.
I thought they did a good job. It echoes sort of his, like, you know, the boomerangs and the coat and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But they just sort of made a little bit cooler and more functional.
Jaunty purple beret.
He did not have the beret, which made me a little sad, but but he was not Australian. Well, he was Australian, but didn't have the funny Australian accent.
I got in big trouble because I said Flash's Rogues Gallery was stupid, and then there was like a bunch of people who just
That's because you're a crazy person. They're the best Rogues Gallery in comics.
Vicious fire coming out of their faces, so. Yeah, who needs Brainiac and Lex Luthor? We got Captain Cold and Captain Boomerang.
See, that's
Captain Weather. It's a bunch of like captains, right?
No, he's a wizard. He's the weather wizard.
Weather wizard.
Right. He doesn't have a rank. He's not Colonel Wizard.
Whatever. It's ridiculous.
No, the Flash's Rogues, what makes Flash's Rogues cool is that they are the dorkiest possible gimmicks. But then when they're in the comics, they're actually pretty cool. And they've done so far with the TV, they've managed to capture that too, that they should be the dorkiest, stupidest thing in the world, but they make them kind of cool.
I think what ends up selling it is that their names aren't their own chosen names. It's what's assigned to them by
Cisco.
Cisco.
Which is great. That's such a great trope.
Dork himself. Yeah. So it works well. All right. Next question is pulling this off of Twitter. Jones with Soda asks, do you think TV doing this hate watching movement is the equivalent of clickbaiting?
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it.
I don't think that hate watching really... I don't think it really... I think it's just fanboyism bleeding into TV like it has everything else, right? I mean...
Yeah.
I was listening to Dan Savage's podcast, and he was talking about hate watching this new My Husband Isn't Gay show on TLC.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And he said that... He said something I thought was interesting. He said, you know, me and all the other gay people I know watched it and hate watched it, and it's probably going to get picked up to series because we all watch it to hate it. And I hadn't thought it. And I wonder if that's what he's asking. It's sort of like, is hate watching basically driving ratings for some of these shows?
Might. Well, it actually makes sense that you put something out so ridiculous.
Do you have to see it?
You have to, like, okay, I mean, I've watched every stupid show we've watched at least once. You know, like, just to see, like, how dumb is this, or is this really this bad?
Yeah.
And
is that why Mulaney's still going?
No.
No, because
Mulaney's still going because they already wrote the check.
Yeah, that's not my fault. But I think it's a good correlation because, yeah, if like that, I thought they canceled that show. I guess they didn't.
Mulaney?
No, the not gay.
I don't know on that one.
Okay, so I thought they canceled that. There was like, or even like the Duck Dynasty stuff. After the guy said the ridiculous stuff, I'm like, I've never watched the
show. That had legitimate fan base.
Yeah, it does.
I mean,
so did Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, Honey Boo Boo.
I've seen every episode of Jersey Shore.
I've seen like a half episode and I couldn't deal with it.
It's the same reason I watch Hoarders, as I watch those people and I go, oh my god, I feel great about my life now.
Well, Hoarders I watch because my mother-in-law is a hoarder, so it's kind of hits close to home. Or you know, but
she has heard you call her out on that.
No,
she's an avid listener of TVD. Yeah,
only if you were talking about conspiracy theories and talking about how everything should be at the gold standard, then she'd be listening.
I hate watched The Newsroom from start to finish. And it was weird. It was like for every single episode, it was like the little meter would go from, hey, this show's pretty, oh god, fuck you so much, Aaron Sorkin, I hate you. Every time it went from the political stuff to the relationship stuff. It was just like knives in my brain. Yeah. But did you guys?
I mean, around.
You guys watch everything kind of as a matter of course,
I didn't watch.
I came around to The Newsroom where I finally landed on The Newsroom at the. I understand why people hate this, but it doesn't create that reaction in me.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of glad because that meant I could enjoy it more. I could enjoy the parts I enjoyed.
Yeah,
I mean, it had serious issues. And I get why people hated that show.
I hated it for a while, and then I grew to kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just kind of go, this is what it is, and I still think he's got one of the most unique voices.
Yeah, yeah. There was no part of me that was sad to see it go.
I think Aaron Sorkin's a dinosaur relic. Last season of The Newsroom, the amount of vitriol that he hurled on, like,
at the internet?
Twitter and the internet.
Yeah.
Just like, you bunch of jerk-offs. Yeah. Real news people. You know, like, they should have the hat with the press and the trench coat and a cigarette, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the only way he can envision news. I'm just like, ah, you piece of shit.
Well, from the first episode, it was so jarring that he had that terrible, like, late 90s West Wing music. I'm like, holy shit, nobody has music like this on their show except if it's a joke.
I like to say that intro, it got great.
Did they fix it?
Yeah. Better, yeah.
Okay, that intro was terrible.
I like to say that The Newsroom was the best network show that HBO ever did. Because had that been on NBC, we would have thought, oh, this is pretty good and edgy.
It's really not true. Lucky Blue was so much better.
See, I thought that my turning point for The Newsroom came when Last Week Tonight with John Oliver came on, and I went, this is The Newsroom, but without having to watch him write crappy subplots for Alison Pill to get slapped around in relationships.
That's a good point.
Just go watch this guy proselytize what he believes for 45 minutes
a week. It's actually true, yeah.
Yeah.
But...
All right, last question comes from, well, this is two people, but first from Thor Wodenson says, how cool would a Cyberpunk 2077 or Shadowrun TV show be? Think it could be done? And this is followed up by UGE Plex, who says, speaking of Shadowrun TV show, do you guys ever see Total Recall 2070? Take that and add elves.
I never watched Total Recall 2070. What I know is it has nothing to do with the Total Recall movie.
Oh, yeah.
That it was like a complete reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounded interesting enough. I never watched it.
Does it have Mars?
No Mars.
Ah.
No, it's totally different. It's all about...
Just borrowing off of the name.
Yeah, I think it's identity switching or something. I don't remember. Okay. But I would love to see a good Cyberpunk... 2077? 2020 was the last I remember.
I think you might be getting it mixed up with a video game that's coming out.
Okay.
I'm not sure, though.
Cyberpunk or Shadowrun, I think, would be a great show. It's like, I thought Almost Human did a pretty good job of something similar to that.
Yeah.
And I think you could definitely do something fun. I don't know if the audience is there for it. Even the nichiest audiences we're at right now, I don't know if there's enough of a mainstream of an audience to make it work.
For Shadowrun?
For Shadowrun.
Yeah. I think that if you just took the cyberpunk part, you might be able to get away
probably
with it.
Probably so, yeah.
You throw orcs and dragons and elves and stuff in there. It's a little weird.
But I'd watch it in a heartbeat if somebody did it, like Showtime or HBO or Cinemax or something. I'd watch that.
Sure.
I have no opinion on cyberpunk whatsoever.
I'm lost, but I would try it because if somebody did something like that with like the way when I first heard about Game of Thrones, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, this is not my world. But if it's done great and it's promoted really well, I'd give it. I don't know why somebody else doesn't try to do that, see if they can come up with their own Game of Thrones type of thing.
You know, I think would probably work way better than those examples would be like Neuromancer.
Yeah.
Something that's more grounded in reality.
A little more hard sci-fi.
Right. Yeah. But still has, I mean, because they have like brands and stuff, so you still have that futurist type of thing, but you could probably get away. You could probably get away with doing it on a production budget like Almost Human.
That's what they're doing with Minority Report, I guess.
It's
kind of the closest thing they're trying.
I actually think if you were going to try and do Shadowrun, I think the way to do it would be to get a guy who has some gaming cred and TV producer cred. The guy coming to mind is John Rogers, who did Leverage and is doing The Librarians, who can do this sort of slightly cheesy genre stuff and do it on like TBS or TNT, where they're sort of winking at this is what we do. And you could possibly make that work.
Ooh, with shitty BBC special effects.
Yes.
I want shitty BBC CGI dragons.
It would have to be.
He did Leverage. Let me tell you what's interesting about those two shows. More entertaining than you think.
Oh, yeah. My daughter just finished marathoning all of Leverage.
And
The
Librarian just like... You think, this is ridiculous. You watch like 10 minutes of like, this is interesting.
Rogers has good, he has good instincts as a storyteller and can do fun stuff. So
it's got John Larroquette, who needs to be on TV more.
So John Rogers, Shadowrun, TBS, make it happen.
There you go.
All right, guys, let's move on to the news.
All right. So the news is all themed around revivals. There is a lot of revival stuff going on. And one of them is sort of, maybe not a revival, it's a second season, but there's a very significant character who's going to be in Fargo season 2, which, as you may know,
it's more of a throwback than a revival.
Yeah, it's more of a throwback. It's a revival of a person who's no longer with us. Set in the late 70s, against the backdrop of Ronald Reagan's first campaign for president of the United States, and Reagan is a character in it.
So they're actually going to cast someone.
Yeah, they haven't cast him yet, or they haven't revealed yet.
In Fargo?
Fargo.
Was that always an anthology show?
Yes, they always. I mean, they finished up that first season and it was done.
Oh, okay. So I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know.
It's an anthology, but I mean, sort of, because the second season it takes place in the same world, and one of the characters is just a flashback season.
Yeah, this one's going to be in 1979, and it's going to be one of the characters who is sort of older in the current season. It will be his sort of early case as a detective. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so. I'm getting more. Of course, I'm getting more and more interested with everybody they've added.
It doesn't sound like they've casted Reagan.
No. They have not cast Reagan. No.
They assigned all the other roles of all those people that we mentioned last week.
Quick rundown for those who don't remember: Ted Danson,
yes;
Nick Offerman,
oh yeah;
Gene Smart, Jeffrey Donovan, Angus Sampson, Kieran Culkin, Kirsten Dunst, and Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's a good cast. That's a lot of good people.
That's very a very hearty. Grumpy cast.
Well, it's kind of a grumpy. It's a grumpy scene. You know, it's great. I mean, I wonder who they're going to get as Reagan. If they're going to do anything, if they get Reagan, are they going to get anything with the hostage crisis and Jimmy
no, because it's going to be his presidential campaign in 1979.
Well, it's still, but that's
so.
Still
I imagine.
Going,
oh yeah, you're right. Him passing through, right?
Yeah, no, because there was always the theory that
happened.
He sort of managed to get the hostage crisis resolved with the whole arms for hostages.
Yeah, and right after he got
and
elected.
That's what got him pushed into office. Yeah.
So, well, anyway, that's other stuff. But that'd be interesting if they and that. Now, that'd be awesome if they were able to tie that storyline in and somehow it was because of something that happened in Fargo.
By the way, one quick aside before we leave this story. Nick Offerman's character is a local lawyer named Carl Weathers.
Oh,
that's got to be a nod. I'm sorry. That has to be a nod. I hope that he talks about getting a soup going.
He has a mustached rival, I think.
Fox wants to revive the X-Files.
Okay.
With David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson both on board, and Chris Carter is in talks.
I can see.
Well, he certainly has free time since they just canceled The After on Amazon.
And I can say David Duchovny, is he in California?
Yeah, California ended.
Done, and
Gillian Anderson
hasn't kind of.
She's really, on Hannibal, but yeah. She's definitely
in the Fall,
and she's on The Fall, which I think I don't know if that's completed or if she's still filming it, but. Right. Honestly, I still like both those actors quite a bit. And X-Files is one of these things that could benefit from the
better technology.
TV has matured.
Yeah.
Like Serial, they were on the forefront of sort of serialization, yep. And they really dropped the ball. But now there's a bit more of a expectation that you're going to do a serialized show, and maybe they wouldn't quite disappear up their own ass the way they did with their arc storytelling.
What's confusing to me is I read Revival on one website, and then I read Reboot on another.
Yeah. I think whoever said Reboot was... I don't think that's true. Because how would you reboot with actors who are that old? It doesn't make sense.
I actually think it would probably work better as a reboot, because if you were continuing on, Mulder is still obsessed with finding his sister. It's been, I mean, at this point, any law enforcement or any government agency would be like, this guy's crazy. Yeah. You're not going to let him do this stuff. Right. Yeah. And this lady is also crazy because she's been following her out for 20 years.
I had a Facebook friend, I don't remember who it was, who said... this is what he'd like to see. And I'm like, this is not what they're going to do, I'm sure. But he said that what you do is you bring in two new actors to play sort of the young, you know, reopening the X-Files. Mm-hmm. And you have Mulder has become sort of Deep Throat and Scully has become the Smoking Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, totally I would watch that show.
Yeah.
That sounds great to me.
I think it'd be really interesting if you had two new foils and then if you put them in that position, you could have whole storylines that were essentially Mulder versus Scully.
Mulder versus Scully.
For whole seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
Could work really well.
I think that'd be really interesting. I don't think that's what they'll do. I think it won't be quite that innovative, but I'm interested. I mean, I liked X-Files and I think they could do some interesting stuff.
Sure.
Speaking of revivals I'm sure of, Heroes Reborn.
the revival no one asked for.
Why?
Tim Kring still involved for some reason. 13 episode miniseries, but they've revealed that maybe Zachary Levi, aka Chuck, is going to be in it.
Actually, is this on NBC?
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be on NBC again. So hey, Chuck, is that kind of cool?
You said it with such enthusiasm, Grant.
No, I mean, it was an interesting concept, the universe, and then they just didn't do anything good with it.
Yeah,
they decided that all heroes, all these people that with superpowers would all just kind of manifest within one area of New York.
Yeah,
which is what they all would intertwine their lives. It was stupid.
The thing is,
it's a dumb fucking show.
I like Zachary Levi, and I liked Heroes at the outset, and I sure would like to believe that they can take this sort of new superhero renaissance and do something interesting with it, but I don't think Tim Kring has it in him.
No.
I think this is going to be terrible, and they're just going
to
drag that...
Did he do anything as a follow-up to Heroes?
No, Crossing Jordan revival? I don't know.
Oh.
his career's just kind of been stagnant since then?
He's probably been doing other stuff, but we don't care.
He's been blacklisted.
Yeah. I don't know. And finally, Twin Peaks... revival. They have gotten pretty much the entire cast back in, right?
No new ideas in Hollywood anymore. None.
How do you feel about that, Jeff?
I don't revive it. Finish the freaking story. I've been waiting since I was a teenager for season 3 of Twin Peaks. Like, don't reboot it. I don't want to see it. I don't know. Or if they're going to bring Twin Peaks back on.
It is season 3.
It is season 3.
They're calling it Twin Peaks season 3.
Okay, are they going to explain, like, what is just Dale Cooper been out there serial killing people possessed by Bob
for
20 years?
Apparently there's this thing where Laura Palmer said, I'll see you again in 25 years.
Oh, boy.
And this is going to be 25 years later.
I don't think Twin Peaks works anymore.
I'm not sure it does either.
I mean, like, people remember the good parts of Twin Peaks, like the room and the midget and stuff, but they don't, or the little person, I'm sorry. But what they don't remember is the incredibly boring parts about Kyle MacLachlan eating pie and talking about it for 20 minutes.
I remember those.
Oh, man. Some people love Kyle MacLachlan eating pie. Like, that's the show they want.
What, that girl?
Just like in slow motion. Just
if Kyle MacLachlan
get that whipped cream on
could
your
eat
lips,
pie man. For 25 minutes and then the midget could dance behind him.
But Shelley's boyfriend is beating her up.
Oh, right.
Care?
I'm a Twin Peaks agnostic. I tried it and I'm like, this is not for me.
I mean, you should watch it when you're 17 or not at all.
Yeah.
Because when you're 17, it seems like completely the best thing you've ever seen.
That and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Long at that age.
Yeah.
Just forget about it.
And after that, don't bother.
You missed the bus.
I talked with Jason a while back about he was trying to essentially force himself to watch Twin Peaks because Allison really likes it.
Yeah.
And he's just like, nope. And I'm, of course you don't like it.
Yeah.
I,
I tried it as well. I tried after two episodes.
It's one of those things that it's of its time, and if you're there, you're there, and if you're not, it's really hard going back to look at it and thinking, why was people into this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I have shows like that I love that no one would enjoy watching now. So that happens.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So we also got some premiere dates.
Yes.
A few more shows.
Excited.
Powers is going to be debuting March 10th on PlayStation Network.
Whoop. Well, I have a PS4. I guess I'll watch it.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of video game episodes, PlayStation is starting to make original content.
Mm-hmm.
That's really weird.
They have before.
Have they?
They made shows? Competition called The Tester or something like that, where it was like a kind of a reality game show thing where the prize was you got to be a QA tester for Sony, and it was like, why didn't...
Wow, that's a rough prize.
Just make the prize getting kicked in the nuts over and over again for 10 minutes.
Your prize is you get to go build iPods in China.
Yeah, your prize is the lowest paying, most grueling video game job that exists in this world.
Wow. If you love video games and you want to learn to hate them, we got a prize for you.
Absolutely.
And then we also got Louis's fifth season debuting on April 9th.
Yay!
Yes.
And FX, please put the rest of Louis on Blu-ray. Please.
I was reading that he's looking to be a lot more comedic this season.
Okay.
Less downer.
You TV dudes can tell me, ratings-wise, how was the last season?
It was down.
It was down. Way down. Okay, yeah. I can see that.
He got really thoughtful, and I think when he's on and trying to do something on TV, I think he's probably the most provocative showrunner on TV. But yeah, but if you're going there looking for just funniness all the time, yeah, it could drive you nuts.
I think the tagline for Louis season 4 should have been "Fuck you, it's funny to me."
Yeah,
I believe that's essentially the through line of Louis season 4.
Yeah,
I still loved it.
I did too. Is definitely a show that put off some people.
Yeah. Very hard to watch. I don't know if I would want to watch it a second time.
It's pretty grueling.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of personal news too, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
We already mentioned it before, but congratulations.
Thank you.
Woo. Married man.
Married man.
It was locked down.
It was a very lovely ceremony we had in the Hyatt Regency Presidential Room suite. We just rented the suite. We just had our family there, about 15 people. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Great nice. View. I'll have a bunch of pictures later on. And it was just great because I got to meet my nephew, who's 2 months old, and my niece came to town, and she's a lot more active than she was last time I saw her.
Yeah.
So she's going to be 2 next month.
That's
so
pretty awesome.
And that was very cool.
You know, we were really proud for you, and we're happy you spent your honeymoon recording TV Dudes with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it just happened Sunday, and it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Actually, wait, there's one more premiere date that I just saw. Did you, John Oliver?
John Oliver does have a premiere date.
He's coming back, I'm going to say February.
I will look it up while you talk about Hacking the System.
Oh, yes, and we also wanted to mention Hacking the System. Debuted last night as of this recording, but Monday the 19th. Did you guys get to check it out?
I didn't get to check it out yet. But
I have not yet.
I don't have I don't have regular TV, so.
I watched it.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good. It's funny watching our buddy Jason on there. Yes, play the
straight guy.
Brian Brushwood's lovely assistant.
Yes. The assistant. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I thought they tightened up some stuff in the presentation. It's funny also watching it with my friends and my wife in the room because they were like calling bullshit on stuff. Like, wow, you're not going to show that? You're not going to show? You're going to tease it, but you're not going to show it? And like, obviously, it was engaging, but you know, there's some things about any sort of like reality TV that you get a little frustrated with. Yeah, I thought it was pretty amusing.
I'm looking forward to checking it out. Yeah, I have it on my DVR.
Yeah.
John Oliver premieres February 8th.
Yes.
I have missed you, John Oliver.
The world needs you.
Yes.
Don't ever take any time off, ever.
All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and take some time off, and we'll be back to talk about some video games. So we had a string of comic book to TV show adaptations. We had Walking Dead, mm-hmm. we had Flash and Arrow, iZombies coming up around the corner.
Yep, Agent right. Shield, Daredevil. Yeah.
I think we have like, what, 34 movies being adapted
at
to?
That is probably a low number.
What was the number? It was like something
It was crazy high.
All for 2015, yes. 2016, whatever season.
Yep.
All those being adapted for TV. And yet, video games, they still seem to be this untapped bastion of storytelling that I'm just waiting for it to happen. What do you guys think is about that? Why hasn't it been adapted yet?
Okay.
Resident video game expert.
I can say that right now that the way that I see it is that it took what? I mean, we had comic book movies way back to... I mean, Blade and the Punisher movie and things like that. And it wasn't until very recently that Hollywood figured out that you can make a certain amount of money by just cashing in on the name and putting the name, the Punisher, on a movie and all the Punisher fans go see it. But if you make a good movie, if you put a little bit of time and effort into it, that you can make a movie that crosses those boundaries, that gets people who are old, who grew up with these things or whatever, to come back and see it. I don't think that's happened yet for video games. They still see it as like, we're just going to slap the name on it, then the fans will come and see it, but they don't care about trying to bring in non-fans, and it's going to take a move from somebody taking a video game movie seriously. And right now, the one that might make that happen is the Duncan Jones World of Warcraft, because there's actually been a certain amount of money, and Duncan Jones is a good director, and so...
He's the guy who did Moon, right?
Yeah. Okay. David Bowie sent. But right now, I feel like that's the major problem that you have with video games. Plus, there's this weird thing that I think everybody gets hung up on about trying to... You saw it in the Doom movie, right?
Yeah.
Where they had that whole first-person part.
Yeah.
You don't need to try to translate the game experience to a TV or movie experience.
Right, that's what the game is for.
Right.
Ang Lee tried to do that with a Hulk movie.
Yeah.
Remember The Beach? Leonardo DiCaprio one that tried to have some video game sequence, but I mean that was more gimmick. It wasn't like it was based off of a video game.
Yeah,
still weird.
But the thing that I don't think that anybody is really getting right now is that what comic book movies in a lot of ways I feel like have taught the world is that if you take the rich universe that those fictions have developed and then you just use that as a jumping off point to kind of make, like, you're not trying to manhandle a specific, or you're taking a specific Captain America story, right?
Yeah.
In the Winter Soldier, but you're cutting parts of it that don't work, and you're adding parts that are more cinematic.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of video games that could fit into that category, but right now it's still such a... Video games are still struggling with that whole thing that comic books had, where it's seen
legitimacy.
Legitimacy and as a kid's medium. I think it's coming faster, but not
Do you think they have to do movies before they do TV?
I don't know. Probably,
because I don't think we've had a TV show that's a video game based that's like was just had the name slapped on. Like, they haven't done anything.
What I find interesting about that, though, is like, well, think of most of the fans who probably are big gamers. They're not really watching like cable TV. You know, they're the ones who are mainly cutting the cord.
Maybe. So, I mean, I know plenty of gamers.
I mean, it seems like you figure if you're going to pull. You're going to have that core audience to watch the game on another medium. I think it'd be kind of hard to figure out what that medium is.
I think there's plenty of crossover. Like, just from us doing our video game podcast, we get TV questions all the time. There's a bunch of fanatic TV watchers in the video game audience.
It seems to be like there's just a general pool of kind of specific geekery pop culture that a lot of people... I mean, you do have people... Like, I don't watch hardly any TV at all, but it's because I have to play every single video game that comes out. But I know plenty of people that'll play 9 games a year, and then they're also way into, you know, this TV and this movie and these comics and this type of thing. But in answer to what you were saying, there have been... Grant sent out a list to remind us that there have been a couple of really terrible TV shows.
Oh, okay.
Specifically, the one that always comes to mind is the Mortal Kombat TV show.
Oh, wow.
And then I've never seen it, but I was looking at this list. Apparently, there was a Canadian Maniac Mansion TV show in like the late 80s or the early 90s or something.
Well, this is something Grant and Randy and I were talking about in the 80s. They used to make a lot of those video games from the 80s into cartoons.
Like, all of them had cartoons.
Like, all of them were cartoons.
Well, it's interesting to think about, because I feel like a lot of times when you say TV, the first thing that comes to mind is live-action TV.
Yeah.
If you go over to animated TV, there's a lot. I mean,
there's tons.
Point to just Pokemon, right? Pokemon is multimedia, movies, TV show, trading cards, video games.
But it started off... Like, wait.
Didn't it start off as a TV show?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure if it showed a card game or vote.
Trading card game or something?
Yeah, I feel like there was never really any origin. It just always was.
Which came first, the egg or the Pikachu?
Pokemon always.
Right. And on the second day, the Lord did create Pikachu, and it was good.
There has always been a Pokemon.
And I mean, there's always a lot of crossover. I mean, it's funny. I'm a huge Paul McCartney fan. So I guess he did this song for one of the games that just came out. Or
Destiny.
Yeah. Oh,
that was crazy.
So it's like, so you see big, names and big, and then you always, like, whenever they do the TV show into the game, like, say, 24, they use Keith, they use all the characters' voices.
Sure. Yeah.
So you would think that there would be some kind of reciprocal thing, like, okay, we already have people that know about the game and know about the gaming and are already involved in it. Why can't we just get those people or get that creative use out? You know, it's just interesting that it's always coming in. It's always going into the games.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not a gamer. I don't have a gaming system, but that gets me like, oh, what's this game? Destiny? Let me check. I should check this out. Just because Paul McCartney or whoever I'm a fan of, like, or 24 would pull me in, other than sports games.
Sure.
Because I'm a big NBA.
Well, no, that's
NFL
true.
Guy.
Especially with Telltale, you're seeing a lot of that. I mean, yeah. With Game of Thrones and then Walking Dead, you're seeing a lot of the TV going to video games and not very much in the opposite direction.
See, but you mentioned animated adaptations of video games. And even then, I mean, most of them seem to be geared toward children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if they're not, they weren't good. I mean, it seemed like they're just kind of thrown together. I mean, what was a strong example?
Well, I mean, I don't want to just keep hitting on the same thing over and over again, but you can say that, I mean, Pokemon is a multi-zillion-dollar enterprise with a crap load of fans.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that, like, the main thing is that we're going to rage select memes here, as you're going to see Grant's anime bias come out here. Of the number of Tekken, Street Fighter, you know, there was a Devil May Cry.
But there's
OVA,
no audience for that, right?
Yeah, nobody watches
that. Garbage.
I mean, even if you look at something, I mean, for my money, I think that one of the best game to movie adaptations was Final Fantasy Advent Children, because that was based on Final Fantasy VII, and it was maybe a little bit too Final Fantasy for a general audience, but for somebody who liked that game, I had a lot of fun with that movie. But I'm looking over, I don't know, this giant list of TV shows, and you're right. I mean, a lot of them are just cash grabs, and I think that's the point I'm trying to make, is that the cash grab is going to make you so much. It's the same way that you see movie licensed video games have, Star Wars Episode 3 video game that's garbage, right?
Yeah.
And a certain number of people are just going to buy it because they're hyped for Star Wars.
Right.
But if you make a good game, like, even though it's not based on a movie, Batman Arkham Asylum, you can have a game that is universally renowned because you give it to a company that was willing to give it some love. And the same is, I feel, true in the opposite direction.
So I have a few little news stories I was able to try and pull up about some things that might be in development. For example, there's a Myst video game TV show adaptation that's going on right now.
Worst idea I've ever heard.
It is, right? Because that game, I'm like, what would that be?
Actually, you know what? No.
Maybe Lost kind of universe.
No, I take it back. I mean, as long as... because the first thing that comes to mind is that it's a game about puzzles, and so how are you going to make gameplay about puzzles? But any fan of Myst will come in to tell you now that there's a whole bunch of character mystery stuff going on behind the puzzles in Myst. Yeah.
The two brothers, the blue and the red one, and all the islands.
I never,
one of those islands looks like Kashyyyk, and it's like all of it's weird.
You know, I've only played a little bit of Myst. I know very little about it, and then I'm playing a little bit. But I could see someone like a visual stylist along with someone a little weird. Like David Lynch or Brian Fuller or one of those type of guys could make a Myst show work.
Yeah. Hmm.
But I don't know who that would be. But so it had to be someone who can do sort of the sort of gorgeous visuals combined with sort of weird character stuff.
I don't. It's funny because I could totally see how that would work. But if that's in production, if it's going to be a thing, I'd much rather see that come 2 or 3 years down the line after legitimacy had been established.
Yeah.
Because a lot of games and a lot of gamers are focused on violent games.
Right.
Violence is fun in video games. So making a game that's all this, making a movie out of a game that's a very puzzle, character-driven thing, might end up being like, well, that's fine, but you know, is this really going to take me away from playing the game that I'm playing
right.
to watch the Myst TV right. show?
Currently, this is Legendary TV that's developing it, and I don't think they have a distributing channel for it or anything yet. I don't know what they're going for. It's really rough right now.
Right.
What else I was able to find, there was a Halo TV series that was supposed to be in development since like 2013.
Nightfall, I believe, was the name of that.
And it's Steven Spielberg attached, and it's supposed to be like a TV miniseries, I guess.
I think
it's not the same guy.
I think that was going to be delivered on the Xbox One to the Halo channel as an exclusive there or something.
Yep.
They announced that a few years ago. I haven't watched it.
Apparently, it got shelved. And they've done like those little mini movies. Like, in fact, the main guy from the mini movie, the black actor guy, he's going to be Luke Cage in the Netflix series now.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay.
So it's the same guy who got cast there. seriously, like, I really couldn't find stuff. Apparently, there's a fan-made Tomb Raider series from one of the actors of the new MTV Teen Wolf. Oh, wow. I was like, at first, I was like, oh, wow, they made a Tomb Raider. Then all of a sudden, I saw fan-made. I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
There's just nothing there.
Yeah.
But one other one I wanted to mention, though, was Defiance. Did you ever play the video game?
I played it for about 20 minutes and went, ugh.
So this one's interesting because I guess they developed both the TV show and the video game simultaneously. For release, so that you could watch each watch or play each independently, but and it wouldn't affect it. But they could also just kind of enrich the world.
Yep.
Both aspects.
It was an MMO. It was made by, I don't remember who exactly made the MMO, but it was. I mean, it came out at a time when there was a bunch of other good games for me to play. So I kind of I bought it and I put it on the shelf and I never really picked it back up again. But I haven't seen the show either, so I don't know if it's good.
I've never heard good things.
I think the show and the video game were equally successful.
Okay, so there you go.
That's great. And the one other interesting thing I did read is that Sega has just recently created a department to adapt their games into other mediums, and they hired a particular guy to head up this group. I should pull up the story.
I think there was a... Wait, well, the new Sonic game, I thought, came out of a CGI series that was made by a French company.
Man, I've seen way too many of those Sonic shows.
Yeah.
My kids watch them.
Yeah.
There's not a one that's good.
Yeah, they hired Evan Cholfin from Break Media, formerly the executive over there, to kind of head this up. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting that he's going to be looking at movies primarily, but he'll probably also be looking at TV as a medium for adapting Altered Beast, Streets of Rage, Shinobi, Rise of Nightmares, Crazy Taxi, some of those games.
All of that is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I don't know what they can do with it.
You need something. What you need is to go back in time and make sure that the Halo movie that the District 9 guy,
Neil Blomkamp
was creating got made.
Yeah.
Because I could see if you had something that had the visual style of like an Elysium, but then it had... Because in the Halo universe, I didn't really know this until I watched Forward Unto Dawn, before the alien invasion, there's a whole Civil War plot that happens in that universe, and you say, that would be perfect for Neil Blomkamp's kind of 3D style. I mean, there's plenty of games out there that could totally work as either a movie or a TV show. It's just that, like I said, nobody's taking him seriously enough to throw the right money and talent at him.
I just wonder why that is, because there's so much... It seems to be just an untapped market, and also just, instead of rebooting like old TV shows again and again and again and again, or doing TV to movie, movie to TV, you've got these interesting stories. I mean, why do you think that is?
Not to sound like a broken record, but I feel that you can just immediately look at what happened with comic books. As you can say, look at something like Blade. And you say, you got a studio, or the first Fantastic Four movie, right? You say, here we go. We're going to make an effort. We're going to make a legitimate effort. We're going to get an A-list Hollywood celebrity. Right. We're going to get a plot. We're going to throw the money to make it look right, and you're going to put it out, and it's going to do okay.
Right.
On the other side of the scale, the new Adam Sandler movie that he recorded that he'd made with his friends made so much more money than that Blade movie.
Right.
That, like, you know, I mean, this is way out of time, right? But when you look at it, it just depends on whether you're looking at movies and TV from an enriching artistic standpoint, or just what makes the most money.
Yeah.
Because like reality TV, I'm sure you guys have talked about before, is a rash because it costs nothing to make and it makes a gajillion bucks.
Yeah.
Right.
So why would you spend all the money to make, say, like
Their ratings are dropping now, finally. But
yeah, well, but they're still higher than a lot of the shows that we love.
Well, yeah, yeah, and then, I mean, but they're still, but now, like, so TV's kind of recovered from like the early 2000s, where I mean, where reality TV was like everything, and now you see, you know, there's more prestige in.
Well, I think
the drama
it wasn't so much that it recovered other channels just popped up and started delivering that original content that we wanted. And
I wonder, but the thing I wonder about the video games is if it's budgetary. Like any of the video games I can think of that would be done well on TV, you'd need a decent budget.
Well, you know, it's weird because I was thinking about that, and my go-to, if you ask, you know, what video game would you like to see made into a TV show, it's always Mass Effect, because I feel like,
yeah,
mostly because I want to see a new Star Trek show, but Mass Effect would work perfectly like that.
Yes.
But then I was thinking today about other big games that could be made. You could make a Grand Theft Auto television show that was just a crime procedural.
That's true.
And you wouldn't need to have that much more budget than an episode of L.A. Law or L.A. Law.
Law and Order.
Law and Order, there you go. Yeah. Or something like Breaking Bad that's an urban show, right?
I guess my question on that would be, though, then do they want to pay the license to do Grand Theft Auto, or they just want to do a crime show? Like, what makes a Grand Theft Auto? And what makes a Grand Theft Auto, I think, would be the sort of slightly over-the-top stuff of the, you know, the drugs and the crazy hookers and how much crime there is in the world.
Sure.
That I think then maybe starts bringing the budget up a little bit.
Maybe, but not nearly as much as
No, you're right. Like that's a doable one. Yeah.
Hookers
are
cheap, Randy.
Not if you get the right ones.
Not, I mean, not
not if they have to also deliver lines. They're good at doing lines, not delivering lines.
I mean, I was thinking the same thing. You could take something, you could probably find yourself some old California towns and set something up Deadwood style for Red Dead Redemption style show. Where it's character based. You got to buy some costumes and horses and stuff like that, but not ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. It's definitely something that are doable.
Or even
Deadwood was really costly, though.
Deadwood was, but you wouldn't have to do it quite at that level of production. You could do Briscoe County Jr. level of production for Red Dead Redemption.
Now, that would be, like, I know that was one of the things we were going to talk about, too. It was, like, a show that I wouldn't mind seeing made in a video game. Deadwood would probably be kind of cool.
Deadwood video game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you'd have to... I think a lot of the shows that we like going the other way to go to make shows into video games would almost all have to be Telltale. Because they've got to be so story-driven. I think that you mentioned Justified. And they have. They did Game of Thrones.
Walking Dead.
They did Walking Dead.
I was thinking about that the other day, and I think you could totally make an Archer video game that had a lot of action and adventure doing stuff that wasn't all based
on an art style that, like, it's just cell shading, whatever.
You could totally do Archer.
You could totally translate that into a video game.
Actually, and I think Bob's Burgers and Rick and Morty, any of the animated shows I could see
that's
being.
That's kind of easy or easier.
Well, they have like
vision.
A web game for Rick and Morty already. It's kind of fun.
But I mean, that goes back to a question that I've been asked for the entire time I've been doing this, is when you talk about the translation of movies and TV shows into or out of video games, the interactivity of video games makes it a different medium. And people get confused because you're looking at a TV to do both of them.
Right.
But the reason that video games have so much violence in them is because it's not fun to play a Parks and Recreation video game.
Right, yeah.
Where you have to run for city council and stay up until 3 a.m. doing Leslie Knope t-shirt making, right?
Right.
On the other hand, if you took something like Call of Duty and directly translated it into a TV show, it would be just so much violence that you'd be desensitized to it, right?
American
shooting
sniper.
Guys. Yeah, every 10 seconds for an hour a week, right?
Yeah.
So,
see, like, Adventure Time has tried to make actually quite a few video games, and I think they are one of those shows that's pretty prime for that adaptation. I mean, most animated ones, I think, are, and it's an easy just jump over to doing the graphics for a video game.
Well, I think when you think about it, I mean, a lot of kids' shows have more action, violence, and adventure than adult shows.
But Lost, I would have thought, would make a great translation. And then they released that Via Domus or whatever
it was. Yeah, never played it.
And
did you play it?
I played a little, and I was like, no.
So for me, the trick has always been, you don't try to make Red Dead Redemption the movie. You take the world of Red Dead Redemption and you write a story in it. You don't try to make Mass Effect the video or the movie. You take the world of Mass Effect and then you write 45-minute Star Trek scripts
over
it.
Yes.
So
right.
what's
yes.
most important is that you have a universe, and it's not something a TV show that's like character-driven as much as it's also its very unique universe, and then
yeah.
Well, see, but then I can see it, though, that it would be a unique thing for the... Because since you are part of it when you're playing it, how do you make it a universal... How do you make it more universal? Because, like, it would be different for you and you and you and me... Because I'd, you know, we'd play it a certain way.
Yeah.
I would think, you know, like,
but you
like,
know,
you know what I mean?
You know what, though? It becomes the genius of that. And I think that is definitely the way to go, especially like Mass Effect. Like, people say, well, Mass Effect, the story's already done. No, no. There's hundreds and thousands of stories out in that universe that have nothing to do with Shepard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think the genius of it is that then becomes marketing.
Yeah.
Because if somebody watches the Mass Effect show and they like those characters and they like that world, they can go play.
And they can be in it.
In
well,
Mass
especially,
Effect.
I mean, especially if you have a good enough point. Writer, you say, let's take the Mass Effect, for example, where you say that you have a whole season of Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, your characters run into Shepard for a few minutes and, oh my God, how cool is that guy?
Yeah.
And then you've got people who have never played it. And you're like, there's three whole games about just that guy that you can go play
That's
from
cool.
there.
Yeah.
It's just the problem is that they feel the need to manhandle those characters into... They'll take something like Doom and try to make a direct translation from one to the other.
Right.
And... yeah, it's just it's a problem that has not been solved yet.
Well, it goes back to the point you made early on. I think it's that they haven't evolved to the point where some executive needs to go, wait a minute, I love or my kids love or whatever playing Mass Effect, but these never work, and what I need to do is this, which is exactly what you said. They need to realize, oh, wait a minute, they love the property. They don't necessarily need the characters that are in the game. They don't need the story that's in the game.
I mean, we just got the NPD numbers last week for video games last year, and Call of Duty Advanced Warfare that had Kevin Spacey in it as a character, and a bunch of other actors in it as specific characters, was the number one grossing game of last year.
Yeah,
I mean, Call of Duty beats out Madden, which is
crazy,
insane, right?
Yeah.
You say... As far as Call of Duty Advanced Warfare goes, you've already got actors playing the characters in the game.
Yeah.
All you have to do is take that conflict, which is in almost every one of those games, find a little slice of it. I mean, your traditional Call of Duty game, if you tighten up the violence, it's like an episode of 24. You've got intrigue, you've got suspense, you've got plots going on all over the world. You could make probably a fantastic television show out of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But it would just take somebody, and that's the other side of my own argument that I don't understand is you look at Call of Duty being one of the most highest grossing entertainment properties of last year.
Right.
You go, why is nobody taking this seriously?
Right.
Because there's a huge amount of money that you could have there.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, just speculating, do you think that Netflix or Amazon are one of the streaming services going to be the first one to crack this?
Or do you think, I think
it'll start with movies, honestly.
You think it'll be a movie first
and then
TV will spin from there?
Well, and I guess... the PlayStations, you're doing their own scripted show, right?
They are, but the weird thing is it's not a video game show.
Yeah, why wouldn't they? Wouldn't it naturally be like a gaming system to do it? Or somebody in a gaming system? Sony would be perfect for it.
I guess.
Yeah, but how many video games does Sony make?
But
Again, well, see, that's something I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think they make.
But
I
mean, Sony had, like, say, Last of Us.
It's just a platform.
Right.
Like, if they'd done a show set in the world of Last of Us.
Well, it's Naughty Dog, but I feel
Naughty
like
Dog,
you've got to...
Yeah.
Again, there's a problem that you tend to run into where all this stuff tends to look the same. You say good game developers are not necessarily good TV show creators.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because when you think about framing a shot for a TV show or a movie is very different than constructing an environment for a video game that's going to be in.
Yeah.
So there's different priorities there, and I feel like there's this shorthand that we get where you feel like you could just move those people back and forth.
Right, yeah.
But
right,
I feel like what you really need is you need a collaboration between somebody like maybe Naughty Dog, who's very cinematic, and then somebody who's got a legacy of making really good movies that you could say, because The Last of Us could totally be a movie.
Yeah, sure.
The Last of Us could be a great HBO TV show.
Yeah.
Uncharted, we keep saying, is better than half of the Indiana Jones movies.
You see, and my guess, Greg, on as to why, say, Sony didn't launch with a video game property is because it is so untested, whereas comic book shows is a thing that's really there's heat on it right now.
Yeah.
And they're trying to launch a new thing for them. They're trying to launch a network, so they need safety.
I imagine the executives in all these departments are... Yeah. Just find video games untouchable right now.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that also the recent news stories with the Gamergate stuff makes people a little skittish. I mean, it was a blemish on the industry for a little bit.
Well, do you guys know?
Not that should affect the stories because the stories are still solid.
Is there anybody you guys can think of that could bridge that gap, either from the cinematic or television side or from the gamer side, that actually could see collaborating or being able to move that?
There's a ton of directors, creators that I would love to see take and adapt something. I mean, what was that game we were just playing? I mean, like Assassin's Creed, I think, still has the bones that could make an interesting series on TV. And put that in the hands of, well, now like there's these movie directors that are coming in and doing whole seasons of TV.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh, just take one of those and have them be a showrunner.
The other thing that you have to remember, of course, is that starting about 5 years ago, a lot of these properties are also already locked up.
Right.
Like Assassin's Creed movie has been in production for a long time. Right. The rights for Halo keep moving around to different people. Mm-hmm. There was a Metroid movie that was going to be made that the rights to a lot of these biggest franchises are also getting bandied around, and they're optioned by a company, and they've got to wait for that to expire for somebody else to take advantage of it.
There's a pretty dope Super Mario Brothers movie I saw.
You with Mario and Luigi Mario?
When we learned their last name.
Yeah.
You know, I also think that something that Jeff said that made me think is that if someone could put together, say, Naughty Dog or Telltale Studios with a writer's room. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you get the studio to sort of do the world building and the development, and then you get the writer's room to work with that as they come up with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of surprised with how multi-level a lot of marketing things are. Like, you know, we talked about Defiance. Somebody launched a video game and a TV show at the same time, and it was terrible. But I'm kind of surprised that nobody's done a, say, Destiny-level release of, okay, well, it is the big video game release, and we're also going to do it to TV show at the same time, and a comic book, and a movie. And, like, you know, they don't, like, market everything at the same time. Like, Destiny had Taco Bell commercials. Like, it was not a small marketing marketing budget.
I've seen a couple of things like that happen. Like, I know that when Chronicles of Riddick came out, that was along with Escape from Butcher Bay and Assault on Dark Athena all at the same time.
Right.
I know that Dead Space did a bunch of comic book and direct-to-DVD iPad game tie-ins. The problem, of course, is that, again, they'll say, oh, this Dead Space is so hot right now. Yeah. Put something, make something. Yeah. We need something out in 2 months. Yeah. And they say, well, you can't make a good game in 2 months. It doesn't matter. Put it out.
Yeah.
It's got the name on it. We'll bilk enough people out of the money to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, I think it's long-term thinking is probably what I'm looking for. It's like if a studio got together with a TV production studio and said, let's create something, let's create an original IP.
Yeah.
And then do what we do well with it across all these media.
Which was what was such a strength of the Arkham games, the Batman. This is going to tie into the Nolan universe, but we're not going to constrain you to. I mean, but it was released after they started making the Nolan movies.
You've checked the dates on that because I don't know if
Arkham come
Asylum.
It
might have come before.
I thought it came
Arkham
before.
Asylum has no hooks to the Nolan universe.
Yeah, I know. That was sort of my point, but I thought that it was still like, this is part of the franchise, and now that this is so hot in the movie industry, it's not just the comics. We want you to develop and really make this video game and not worry about tying the storyline.
I don't think once again, you'd have to check the dates on release, but I don't think there was any direct ties between that.
I am speaking out my ass.
Rocksteady, I'm pretty sure that Rocksteady just made that game, and they loved Batman so much, and they said, why can't there be a good Batman game, and we made it. And then there might have been some back and forth talk. Like, I think that Arkham Origins actually resembled the Nolan movies way more than Arkham Asylum or Arkham City. Yeah. But I just remembered. Yeah. Also, do you guys remember? You remember when Uncharted was going to be a movie? And it was, what was it? Who's the director? The guy did Three Kings and
David O. Russell.
David O. Russell.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh no, we're going to totally rewrite this as Mark Wahlberg." Not Danny DeVito. Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci as a archaeology wisecracking New York fan.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with the story that was there. Why are you? I mean,
that's the thing. You can definitely say, okay, you don't have to do the video game. Like, we've seen the video game. Do something in that world. But at the same time, don't utterly change it into something that, why do you even use the name?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Actually, and so now that I've been thinking about it, another good candidate for what could push this stuff in the legitimacy, of course, I don't think it's going to, is there's Ratchet and Clank movie being made.
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank's always had very good writing. They've been very successful games. And then anybody who's seen the trailer for Overwatch,
new
Blizzard game.
Yeah.
The cinematic trailer for that, you can look at that and go, I'd watch that show.
See, Overwatch, that's one that I think of, like, that is one they could be putting out at the same time the video game comes out, an animated TV show, toys, lunch boxes, everything. They could that's such a world that they've built.
But it always feels so cheap when they do that.
I know.
But that legitimately looked like Pixar quality.
Yeah, it was a great it was a great cinematic.
Well, okay, guys. Obviously, it seems that we're on the cusp of what should happen.
You know, if we had money, we'd do it. if we had
maybe I don't think I would.
$10 million.
It sounds like you're wrapping up. I thought we were going to solve this. Let's solve this thing right now.
I'm going to wrap up because I don't think we're going to solve it. But I do think that within probably 3 to 5 years, we're going to start seeing a lot more video games into TV. I think it's an inevitability.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you, Jeff, for being here.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure.
Yes.
What's that website you're on again?
It's RageSelect.com.
Oh, awesome. Yep. Okay.
The classiest website on the internet.
The classiest website. I'm going to go over there and record with you right after this.
Yep. Class it up.
Yeah, add some more class, yeah.
All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. And once again, go ahead and vote for us on the Podcast Awards and also give us those 5-star ratings on iTunes. Guys, until next week,
TV Dudes out.